Why does a chicken cross the street?
Because it's got the green light.
Correct. Pay that man $8. What did Julius Caesar say when Brutus stabbed him?
Ouch.
Correct. Pay that man $9 because...
It pays to be ignorant. Another half hour in radio's biggest hatch of boobies with Lulu McConnell, George Shelton, Harry McNaughton, Don Novick's Rhythm Butchers, and the zaniest of the zanies, Tom Howard.
Thank you, Johnny, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, here we are again with that quiz program that is a favorite with the Scissor Grinders Union because it's so dull. We have a board of experts who are so dumb they think a closed shop is a store that's gone out of business. First, we have the celebrated author, Mr. Harry McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled How to Flirt or He Who Gets Slapped. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
I have a poem, Mr. Howard.
I see.
Yes. Mary had a bathing suit, the latest style, no doubt, for whenever she got in it, she was more than halfway out. Very thin girl, though.
Okay.
If she stood sideways, they'd mark her absence.
Oh, never mind. We've had enough of that. Next, we have a woman who was so big, three FBI men trailed her for five blocks. They thought she was hoarding helium. A woman who cast such a big shadow at the beach last summer, the Coast Guard ran up the storm signals. But here she is, America's biggest transportation problem, Miss Lulu McConnell.
You know, Mr. Howard, I was talking to Mary Kelly the other day.
Mary, yeah.
Oh, her husband is so good to her.
Yeah.
He's got her a maid.
Fine.
Mm-hmm. But he helps around the house himself.
Uh-huh.
He washes the dishes, washes the floors, he washes the laundry.
Wait a minute, what about the maid?
Oh, she washes herself.
I see.
Nice.
Well, at least she's clean. It's even hard to get a maid to do that these days. Next, we have a man who may not have been the brightest kid when he went to school in his class, but he was the oldest. Here he is, a man so lazy he sits up all night to keep him from washing his face in the morning. Here he is, Mr. George Shelton.
So, you know, Mr. Howard, you know, traffic gets worse and worse in New York all the time.
Worse and worse.
Yeah. I had a terrible time finding a place to park my car tonight.
Oh, you did? What'd you finally do?
Well, I finally found a spot marked Safety Zone.
Oh, I see.
Safety Zone.
You put it there.
So I parked it there.
Very good.
Now I know the car is safe.
Yeah.
Won't cost me a cent either.
Won't cost you a cent.
Not a cent.
No, only about $20. All right, well, there they are, folks.
The car ain't worth that.
Never mind. That is our regular board of experts. With us this evening, we are pleased and honored to have a most distinguished author, actor, critic, and handyman, the popular Mr. Robert Benchley. Mr. Benchley. Good evening, Mr. Benchley. It was nice of you to come.
Well, I couldn't go anywhere else. My laundry hadn't come back.
I see.
It's the only place I could come with a dirty shirt.
I see what you mean. Well, speaking about a dirty shirt, I'd like you to meet Mr. Sheldon there.
Hiya, Bench, old boy.
What an odd-shaped head you have. I think coming to a point as it does, it would be dangerous in a thunderstorm. Are you insured?
He's not only insured, he's insulated.
I certainly am. I've never been so insulated in all my life.
Now, wait a minute, please.
I don't have to sit here and have you tolerate me.
Look, you're mean and sullen. And Mr. Benchley, the lady sitting next to you in those two seats is Miss Lulu McConnell.
Hello, Mr. Benchley. You mind if I call you Bob? Kind of chummy and cubby and stuff and things, huh? Well, you can just call me Lulu.
Am I likely to have occasion to call you?
Isn't he sweet?
Yeah.
I like him already.
All right, fine. And the gentleman on your left, Mr. Benchley, is Mr. McNaughton.
Oh, how do you do? How do you do? Pleasure, old boy. It's a pleasure.
McNaughton. Oh, yeah. Roland Young told me about you.
Roland Young, yes. He was on the program last week.
Yes.
We got along swimmingly.
Yes, you must have. Young said you were all wet.
Now, just a minute before we start getting personal, let's get on with the questions. Here's the first one.
Yes.
I will read the first half of a very well-known axiom. I want you to complete it. Here it is. Now, pay attention. Never cross a bridge... Now, finish that for me, will you, please?
Finish what, the bridge?
No. Finish the old saying, never cross the bridge.
I don't get it.
No, all right, never mind. You never do. Haven't any of you heard of the old saying that begins with never cross the bridge?
I heard the one, a stitch in time saves nine.
No, that's not the one. Besides, that's the whole saying. Oh. Mr. Benchley, what have you got to say about it?
Oh, I think it's fine.
Oh, you do? You think what's fine?
Well, I think a stitch in time saves nine is fine.
I got it.
Especially for people who go around saving stitches.
Oh. Well, you know, they do come in handy sometimes.
I don't like them.
You don't like what?
Stitches.
I
had one on my side last
week. Oh, wait a minute. Wait.
Like that.
Never mind. You haven't got a side. Now, let's get on here. What I mean, Mr. Benchley, what do you think of the saying that begins with never cross the bridge?
I think it's silly.
You, well, what's silly about it?
Well, have you ever stopped to consider how difficult it would be to go through life never crossing bridges?
I agree with you, Mr. Benchley. I agree with you, old boy. You're bound to come to a bridge sooner or later.
Yeah, I know. But
I mean, you say never cross it.
Yeah.
What must one do? I mean, just stand and stare at it?
All right.
Besides, suppose you don't cross the bridge, how are you going to get the other side of the river?
I see.
Without getting all wet.
Well, of course, you could build a tunnel. No. That wouldn't be practical, would it?
Oh, I don't know. Yes, that'd be all right. How about the Holland Tunnel?
The Holland Tunnel? Mr. Yeah. Shelton, the Holland Tunnel only goes under the Hudson River, do you see?
That's right.
I mean, after all, what about the other rivers? Lots of other rivers.
I don't really suppose you carry the Holland Tunnel around with you, do you? It'd be too bulky.
No, that would be a little heavy.
I don't get it.
I can say not.
I have an idea. I have an idea. Of course, you might try building a portable tunnel, you see? You know, one that you could sort of fold up, you see? And when you came to a bridge, unfold it, you know, just like a bridge table.
Just like a bridge table. Mr. McNaughton, I wish you would fold up. Will you guys cut it out?
You know what I think? I think a boat would be more practical.
A boat? My word, you mean carry a boat around with you till you come to a bridge? Oh,
say, wait a minute. How about a barge?
Wait a minute. Leave Miss McConnell out of it, will you, please?
Well, who said that?
Sit down.
Well, who said it?
I said it.
Why, you old dried up piece of punk.
Yeah.
You're so thin you have to swallow a wallet every morning to keep your pants on.
Oh, is that so? Thank you.
You're welcome.
The question is not about tunnels. All I want to know is, I want you to try and finish the old saying, never cross a bridge until you come to... There, I said it. I told you.
Never cross a bridge until you come to it. That's sillier than the first line. I mean, after all, how can you cross a bridge, old boy, if you don't come to it?
Well, you're so right. You really are so right.
Thank you.
You can get in no end of trouble crossing bridges before you come to them, you know. That's,
yeah. Now, did you ever try it, Mr. Benchley?
No, but I'll never forget the time I was driving a car. I tried to turn a corner before I came to it.
I see.
Oh, it was a terrible mistake, yeah. You know? But the owner of the hardware store was very nice about it. He sued me for only $20,000.
All right, never mind, please.
I don't get it.
Miss McConnell, what is it you don't get?
What's all this got to do with the question?
What question?
The one about a stitch in time saves no.
Cut it out. Well, you're right for you.
Tell me something. Who are these two normal people sitting over here?
Normal?
Well, they're two people with heads.
Oh, I see. Well, I see what you mean, Mr. Benchley. You see, this is the part of the program where we invite people from the audience. We have invited two people up from the audience to help us out. They can ask the experts a question. If they get an intelligent answer, we give them 1,000 shares of American Tell and Tell. If they don't, we just give them one of Miss McConnell's old discarded girdles. Who is the first contestant, Mr. Roberts?
Our first contestant, Mr. Howard, is Private Nick Scarrow of the United States Infantry.
Ah, oh, that's well. Good evening, Private Scar. This is indeed a pleasure, and thank you a lot for coming up here. Where are you from? I mean your hometown. Would you care to tell us?
Rahway, New Jersey.
Rahway, New Jersey. Well, you're right, quite at home here.
The Rahway, New Jersey. Well, waltz me around and call me Willie.
Yeah.
You know, I used to work in that town.
Yeah, you're having trouble with that left tonsil.
Yeah, I was a surgeon in a bakery shop.
You were a surgeon in a bakery shop?
Yeah, I used to make the incisions in the jelly donuts.
Look, please. Will you kindly pay a little attention to our guest here?
Certainly, Mr. Howard. What was the question?
What was the question? Mr. Sheldon, are you an imbecile?
That's a good question. Who sent that in?
Pay no attention to them, Private Scar. How long have you been in the service?
6 months, sir.
Oh, 6 months. Fine. What did you do before you entered the service?
I was a printer.
A printer?
Yes.
Well, you're a good type for that. You were a printer and...
Well, that's a setup.
Never mind the setup.
You know, I remember the time I was in the last war. Yes, well do I remember it. The sergeant said to me, remember, your rifle is your best friend. Treat it tenderly, do you see? Just as you would your wife. Uh-huh. Every morning, wipe it off with an oily rag.
With an oily rag.
He told me that.
I like to try that on my wife.
Yeah, she gets up oily.
She gets up oily. All right, please. Never mind the Brooklyn accent. Let's get on here, please. Just let us ignore them, Private. As I said before, we're very, very happy to have you with us.
Yeah, what's your first name, honey?
Nick.
Nick.
Yes.
Oh, that's a cute name, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
Nick.
Nick. Oh,
that's cunning.
All right.
He's a cute kid, too, eh?
Yeah, he's a very nice little boy.
Well, you can just call me Coffee.
Yeah.
I'm so strong and stimulating.
I am that. You're also weak in the bean, if I may. Nick, will you reach into the dunce cap there and help us out by picking out a question, if you will, please? And when you get a hold of one, would you kindly read it for us right into the microphone there in front of you? Just take your time and read the question.
In what ceremony is a wedding ring used?
Thank you a lot. In what ceremony? Please, no coaxing from the audience, please. In what ceremony is a wedding ring used? Did you hear that question, Mr. Benchley?
Certainly. What do you think I am?
I see. That's a $64 question right there. I just asked you, did you hear the question?
I heard it. It was something about a wedding ring, wasn't it?
That's right.
Well, what about a wedding ring? Who lost it?
Who lost it? Nobody lost it. Look, let me give you the question once again. In what ceremony do they use a wedding ring? Let me help you. You're married, aren't you, Miss McConnell?
Certainly I'm married.
Fine.
You think the scar over my eye is a birthmark?
I would say. All right, you say you're married. Tell me something. What do you wear on your left hand?
A glove.
What's on your third finger?
A hole in the glove.
A hole in the glove. The question deals with the institution of marriage.
Anyone who gets married should be in an institution.
When my old man was courting me,
yes.
He told me I was the most beautiful, sweetest, and most interesting girl he ever knew. Yes.
And you married him after he deceived you like that?
a friend of mine got married last week. Little Sidney, yes. Now he's taking French lessons.
You mean he married a French girl?
No, you see, he talks in his sleep and he doesn't want his wife to know what he's saying.
You know, in India, a man doesn't see his wife until after he's married.
Same thing in Brooklyn.
Marriage is a wonderful thing. No family should be without it.
No family should be. Can we please get on with the question? In what ceremony do they use a wedding ring? Look, when two people are getting married, what does the minister ask for?
$2.
$2.
Mr. Betsy, when you got married, did they throw rice at you?
Yes, but they made a pudding of it first. How did you meet your husband, Miss McConnell?
Well, he walked into a pool room, and there I was.
In a pool room?
Yes, I was playing pool with Mike Kelly.
I say, Kelly Pool, huh?
Kelly Pool. Kelly Pool.
Love that man.
I'll never forget the night my husband proposed to me if I live to be 100.
Well, you only have a few more weeks to go.
He got out on one knee, rested his head on the curb.
Wait a minute. Rested his head on the curb?
Yeah, it was New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
That was as high as he could get his head.
I had an awful time
before I married my old man.
You had an awful time?
Yeah.
What was the trouble?
Well, I wouldn't marry him when he was drunk.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't marry me when he was sober.
Now, to sort of break the monotony, ladies and gentlemen, we will hear from Dr. Novick and his orchestra, who have just completed a successful engagement at the Chicago Stockyards. Listen and get a whiff of this music. Dr. Novick. Well, they're off already.
You should go back in the stockyard, too.
That's what I like, Gilbert and Sullivan.
Sounds like Hart, Schaffner, and Marx to me.
Must suit you, huh?
Spring song and it's starting to winter. Summer evening and a goodly crowd was there. But, well, that makes me feel like we're sighting now. Who is our next guest, Mr. Roberts?
Our next guest, Mr. Howard, is Sergeant Johnny Newsom of the United States Army Air Corps.
Well, fine. How are you doing? This is indeed a pleasure, Sergeant Newsom. We're very glad to have you with us, and thanks a lot for coming up. How do you feel?
Fine, thank you.
That's fine. You certainly do look it. Certainly, it's a pleasure to have you here this evening.
Oh, yes. How do you do? It's a pleasure having you any evening.
All right.
You look so charming, so sweet, so demure.
All right. Mr. McNaughton, will you kindly draw in your fangs, please?
Mr. McNaughton, you're quite a ladies' man.
Rather, yeah. Wherever I go, women scream.
What do you use, mice?
Pay no attention to Miss Fuson. Where's your hometown, would you care to tell us?
Birmingham, Alabama.
Birmingham, Alabama. Hooray. Nice time for Birmingham.
Fine.
You know, Mr. Howard, she's the kind of a girl I'd like to take home to mother.
I see.
If I could trust the old man.
All right. Miss Newsome, may I ask, what is your work in the service?
Well, I'm here recruiting women for the Women's Army Corps, Wainwright Company.
Oh, for the Wainwright Company.
Right.
Oh, yes, I read it. That is marvelous. Well, lots of success to you. You girls are certainly doing a great job.
Girls are different since I was a boy. I remember I used to go courting my girl with a lantern.
With a lantern? I always courted my wife in the dark.
Yeah, look what you got.
Mr. Howard, I saw a sailor today. And he had, a soldier. And
sure.
He had two stars on his shoulder.
Uh-huh.
What does that mean?
What, you don't know what that means?
No.
Oh, that means he's got two sons in the service.
And we should have done out there and pick out a question for us, please. And would you be kind enough to read the question, if you will, right into the microphone, please?
Who painted Whistler's mother?
That's very good. Who painted Whistler's mother? Give this question a little consideration.
You mean, Mr. Howard, someone has painted with their mother? That's shocking.
Must have been some devilish kid.
Yeah, okay.
If I was his mother, I'd wallop him.
Well, this is all very silly. Whistler's mother's on a canvas.
So what? My mother's on a diet.
Look, please, I'm talking about art.
Art who?
Artesian.
Oh, I know Artesian well.
He knows Artesian well.
I can bite my tongue out.
Mr. Bentley, I'm really surprised at you.
Oh, I have my silly moments.
Do any of you know the answer?
Now, let me see. Artesian well.
Yes.
No, it's too deep for me.
Too deep. The question is, who painted Whistler's mother? It's the work of a great artist, Whistler's mother.
Would that be the same gentleman that had the dog?
Well, what dog?
Well, I really don't know what dog it was. It seems to me there was a fellow by the name of Whistler who had a dog.
Mr. Bentley, what you have in mind is a musical composition of Whistler and his dog.
Did he have a mother?
Did he have a mother?
Who, the dog?
No, the Whistler.
Well, I wouldn't want to have you quote me on this, but I think he did have a mother.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thanks for that information. I'm glad to know that Whistler's dog had a mother. Wait a minute. This is all beside the point.
I love dogs. Do you have a dog, Mr. Benchley?
Oh, yes. In fact, I have a very, very nice dog. I play checkers with him every night.
What, you play checkers with your dog?
My word, he must be a very smart dog.
Oh, he's not so smart. Last night, I beat him 2 games out of 3.
The question is not about dogs. Do any of you know anything about art? Have you ever been to the art museum?
Oh, I go up to the art museum every Sunday.
Oh, fine. Now, what do you go up to the art museum for?
I have the peanut concession outside.
Right. Mr. Sheldon, you're a moron of the first water.
You're quite a drip yourself.
Thank you.
You know, I bought a bird dog once.
Yeah.
But he was no good.
Oh, dear, the bird dog was no good.
No. I took him home, put him in a cage, and he wouldn't sing a note.
Miss McConnell, I hated you 2 years before I met you. Now, let's get on here.
Now, you take that other dog of mine. That other dog. That was a smart dog.
Oh, yes.
He was with Admiral Byrd when he went to the South Pole.
Uh-huh.
In fact, my dog reached the pole first.
Your dog reached the pole first. Can we answer the question, please?
That was another dog I had. Oh,
another
I've
dog you
never
had.
Seen a dog like him, like that other. He had only one eye in the center of his head.
One eye in the center of his head?
Yeah, they tell me his mother was scared by a motorcycle.
Did you believe it?
Never mind, Mr. Bensley. I don't want to hear no more about your dog. Mr. Bensley, do you realize you haven't made an attempt to answer any question all evening?
I'll never forget one dog I had. Every morning, first thing he'd go down to the corner fruit store, take an apple off the stand and eat it.
Oh, didn't the man stop him?
No, he was a police dog.
Oh. He was a police dog.
You know, I had a police dog once. He was only that size, just 6 inches.
Oh, Mr. Sheldon, that's much too small for a police dog.
He was in the Secret Service.
Ah, the skater's waltz. I've never heard it played like this before.
No, nobody else did either. Wherever it carries you to, I hope it leaves you there.
mayor is wonderful. I love his Fritzy Carter.
Yeah, somebody ought to cut it out. There's nothing the matter with your radio, folks. The drummer just dropped his bridge work. All right, thanks. Thank you, Dr. Novick. Ladies and gentlemen. Please. Now, the old clock on the wall tells us it's time for me to thank our good friend, Mr. Benchley, for spending his valuable time here with us. It was fun having him, and thank you a lot, Robert Benchley.
Oh, it was nothing at all, Mr. Howard. I was glad I was able to answer the questions for you.
How do you like that?
Mr. Benchley, would you like to have dinner with me tomorrow night?
Why, Miss McConnell, I'd be delighted.
Well, you just named the place, and I'll be there.
All right.
As I was walking down the avenue, I met a funny fellow with a funny point of view. He didn't have a brain cell working in his head, but he was very happy, and this is what he said. It pays to be ignorant, to be dumb, to be dense, to be ignorant.
What do you think of that? He stole the title of the show.
To be ignorant just like me. It's best not to know too much. Be a dope, your IQ shouldn't show too much. Your brain shouldn't grow too much. Wait and see. I took my girl to dinner. We had a wonderful feast. They had to give my girl the check because I couldn't read. So you see, it pays to be ignorant. Have no brain, be insane, just be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant just like me.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is not Frank Lang's office.
Thank you.